just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Would you find your place in the book of Matthew, please? If you have a Bible, I sure hope you do. What a privilege to be able to read a message from God. You don't need a special degree. You don't need some kind of secret decoder. You don't have to go on an archaeological dig. You just have to open your Bible and God will speak to you. Matthew chapter 5. Are you ready for a profound revelation this morning? This is deep statement number one. Nobody's perfect. Did you know that already? I'm here to enlighten you today. Nobody's perfect. But can you imagine for a minute what it would be like if you were? What if you never ever knocked your drink over at the dinner table? Don't you hate that? You're reaching for something and you hit the glass and over it goes. What if you never dropped your toast? Or squeezed your ketchup out on your shirt? What if you never, ever bounced a check? I want you to raise your... No, don't raise your hand. What if you never made a wrong turn in downtown Chicago? What if you never missed your exit when it's like 6 miles till the next exit? What if you never, ever forgot a name? Wouldn't that be great? What if you never, think about this. If you were perfect, what if you never made a typo? I type a lot. I make a lot of typos. Can you imagine being so perfect you never made any? What if you never lost your temper? Like ever. I want you to raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. What if you never were covetous? What if you never were unkind? What if you never murmured? Well, nobody's perfect. Isn't it easy to just kind of justify away? Say, nobody's perfect. I'm human like the rest of us. But the Bible says that our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. It says that He's perfect. But what does that really mean? Does it mean like the opposite of all those things I just said that we do? Or is there something more or different? And what does that mean for us? Let's find our place then in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus is speaking. Certainly the authoritative speaker on the subject of our Father, which is in heaven. And Jesus says, your Father in heaven is perfect. Start in verse 43, reading Matthew 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For, or since, or because He, your Father, maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. There it is. your Father in heaven is perfect, and we're told to be perfect. And this last verse can seem almost insurmountable, impractical, impossible. And my tendency might be to read that. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's not happening. Let's just move on to chapter 6 and see if there's something there we can work on. Because I don't know about you, but I think I'm always going to drop my toast. I think until the day I die, there will be occasions on which I forget names or make typos or take a wrong turn. How can I be perfect? How can I get to the point where I never, ever have an envious or covetous or lustful or greedy thought? Be perfect? That's not happening. Well, I think if we look a little more closely at what the passage is saying, it's not requiring of us what we think of when we say perfection in the sense of flawlessness. It's not asking for 100% perfect living where you never, you know, change lanes without first, you know, putting your blinker on. That's not the kind of perfection that he's talking about here. And we could look at the word itself, and we will, but more importantly, the context, the teaching that Jesus is giving explains it to us. What is Jesus trying to drive home? What does he want his audience to do? He says it in verse 44. Verse 44, he tells us, he lists out some things he wants his followers to do. He says to love your enemies. He says to bless them that curse you. And he says to do good to the people that hate you. And then he says, pray for the people that use you in a spiteful way and even persecute you. So that's the point that he's trying to make. That's what he's telling us to do. And then he says, notice in verse 45, that ye may be the children. Now, he's not saying if you do these things, you can be a child of God and be saved. We know that salvation is by grace through faith. It's nothing I can earn. I can't do anything to by being good and blessing those that curse you. Poof, you're a child of God and you're going to heaven. No, the meaning is, if you do these things, you will be obviously a child of your Father which is in heaven. You will have a strong family resemblance. Yesterday was a 5K here at the church and school property, and there were a lot of families here running and so forth and so on. And there's a number of families that have a strong resemblance that runs through their genetic code. Some of you would know, some of you don't. Some of you know the Shabbat family. And I don't know how many little ones they have now, but I mean, some of them look identical to their father. It's like, here's the 6-year-old version of their dad. And so the comment is made something like, oh, you meet the kid for the first time and you say, well, that one's a Shabbat for sure. Right? I was running in the 5K. We're using the term running loosely here, but I was moving in a direction. And someone came up behind me, one of my students actually, from the junior high Bible class, and he comes up behind me and goes, hey, Russell! If I were Russell, he would not have been coming up behind me. he was able to move on past, and then I'm not Russell. When a family resemblance is there, you're obviously the child of the father. It's because you do things the way they do them or you look like them. And so when Jesus says that ye may be the father of your, that ye may be the children of your father which is in heaven, he's not saying do good, bless, and pray so that you can become a Christian. He's saying do good, bless, and pray so that you can look like you belong in the family. In other words, I will look like my Father which is in heaven when I do these things. And he goes on to express it in another way. It says you're going to look like God because this is how God is. God gives sunshine to everybody, regardless of how just they are. God gives rain to everybody. He doesn't say, well, you're a good person, so you get rain when you need it. You're a good person, so you get rain when you need it. You annoy me, no rain for you. God doesn't do that. He gives everybody sunshine and rain. And so he's saying when you are blessing your people that curse you, and when you're doing good to those that hate you, it's going to be resembling the Father in heaven because he gives sunshine even to the people that curse him. He gives rain even to the people that deny he exists. So when Jesus is telling us to live this way, he's saying to do that because it'll make you look like your Father. And he's perfect. So does perfect here mean flawless, or does it mean something more? The word itself, if you were to look up the Greek word and the definition, the word perfect often in the New Testament just means complete, entire, whole, not lacking anything, mature. It's that idea of being total, not missing anything. Okay? So when it says your Father is perfect, it doesn't mean he's flawless, though he is. He is that also. But what it means is that God the Father is so pure, he is so solid through and through, he is so complete that he is so good that you don't have to be good for him to be good to you. God is so gracious, so loving, so kind that you don't have to be some kind of on good behavior person for him to give you what you need. God is what he is, and his character impacts his relationship with you more than your character. God is good. That's just what he is. And so the fact that you're grumpy or you're unkind or you're swindling people at work doesn't mean that God's going to say, well, fine, I'm not going to let the sun shine today. God is not that easily manipulated where we can just do something and it bugs him. And so he says, well, fine, I'm going to change and be different. God is what he is. You can't change that by being unjust. The sun's going to shine whether you're a nice person or not. The rain is going to fall whether you're honest or not. Because God is perfect. He is complete in and of himself. He is an integer. He is homogenized. He is not kind of separated. And the way you act determines what part of him you see. It doesn't matter how you treat the sun today. It's still going to rise tomorrow. We could all go outside and look at the sun. Well, we probably couldn't look at the sun today, but let's imagine that we could go outside and look at the sun. We could shake our fist at the sun and say, I think the sun is ugly. And you know what the sun would do tomorrow? Same thing it always does. Because the sun doesn't need your approval to go on being the sun. The sun doesn't need you to like it in order for the sun to be warm. You could go outside today, maybe this is more appropriate, you could look at the rain and say, I hate rain. You could say, I disapprove of the rain. The rain's still going to be rain. It doesn't depend on you for its existence or for its attributes. God sends the sun because that's God. God sends the rain because he's God. He is not manipulated into being something other than what he is based on what we do. God is and does what he is and he does because of him, not because of us. So God is so perfect, so complete that he's not dependent upon us for his moral attributes. Okay, so here's big point number one. Your Father is so completely himself that his character does not change because of the way a person acts. Your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. He is so completely himself that his character does not change based on how a person acts. Aren't you glad for that? Because there's a lot of bad people going around on the planet. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. A lot of bad people. And if God's character and identity were dependent on how we act, who knows what God would be like by now? I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's a whole lot of bad people going around inside this building. And if God's character and actions were dependent on our behavior, we'd be on kind of shaky ground. God truly is what he is. And that is the biggest factor in his interaction with us, not who we are. Now, don't misunderstand me. We'll address the other side of that in just a moment. But many of God's blessings are unconditional, aren't they? Many of God's gifts are universal. They flow from his identity and are not caused by people's goodness. And God's gifts, many of them, are not sustained by their response. The sun shines because it's the sun. God loves because he loves. Now, as the moral judge of the universe, God will sentence people according to their behavior. Okay? The expression is, the same sun that melts the butter hardens the clay. And so God's perfection, his moral attribute, will at some point impact different people differently, but not because he's changing towards them. It's how they respond towards him. His holiness, his justice never changes. And so as a pure and holy God, if we do unjustly, he will punish us. And if we do justly, he will reward us. But there are certain universal blessings that we all enjoy, whether we deserve them or not. Did you think about this? Okay, think of the worst villain you can think of in history. Did you know he was still able to watch sunsets? He was still able to smell a rose or a look at a daffodil when it first came up in the springtime. The most wicked person in your office can enjoy beautiful music. They're able to breathe. They're able to taste food. These gifts from God are because of who God is, not because of them. Even the rebellious are allowed to enjoy many of God's gifts, like beauty and breath, like food and family, like rain and sunshine, like springtime and harvest. Aren't you thankful that our Father is complete in himself? It's not as if he's waiting like a chess game to say, okay, well, depending on what they do, then I'll decide what I want to be. No, God is already who he is. He's entire, he's pure, he's genuine. It's the difference between veneer plywood and solid oak. It's the difference between gold-plated and solid 18-karat. God is genuine. He's complete. He's perfect. So, point number one, our Father is so perfect. He is so pure that he is not affected by our behavior. It doesn't change him. Point number two, this perfectness, this completeness of our God, it's natural to him. That's just who he is. But it's not natural to me. That's why Jesus said, be ye perfect. If we were already perfect, would he be telling us to do it? No. He says, be ye perfect. It's a command. It's an injunction. It's an order. He says, hey, be perfect. Be complete in the same way which your Father is or already is. So God the Father naturally is perfect. That's part of being God. But we're not. But we're supposed to be. So we can look like him. So that can people say, oh, that one's got a lot of God in him. They might even see us from behind and say, wow, that reminds me a lot of, oh no, that's just God's Son. You see? So the more we are like God in this way, the more we will bring honor to him. This goodness, this completeness is an expectation that God has for his children. And he illustrates it this way. He says, it's natural for you to be kind to people that are kind to you. Right? Okay, so illustration. If I come up to you at church today and we're doing the Sunday morning thing, I say, oh, hi, how are you? You're looking really sharp today. The natural response is not to say, yeah, well, you look like a slob. The natural response is to what? Answer in kind and say something nice back. Oh, you look nice too. Even if you are lying in church, you feel the need to say something nice to someone when they say something nice to you, right? But what if somebody says something rude to you? Wow, who picked out that outfit? Oh, yeah? Who did your hair? You missed a spot when you were coloring. Right? When somebody's mean to us, we want to be mean back. True? And so Jesus says that's normal. It's normal to be nice to people that are nice and mean to people that are mean. But that's not like God. God gives sun to everybody, whether they're nice or mean. And so he says, don't be natural, be supernatural. If I were truly upright, if I truly had integrity of heart, if I were right and if I were real, if I were homogenized in goodness and love so that I weren't separated into like cream and milk and butterfat, if I were all the way throughout like God, imagine this, I would be kind regardless of how people treat me. That's almost harder to imagine than no wrong turns in Chicago, isn't it? Can you imagine being kind to everybody? All the time? That's what he's asking us to do. When he says be perfect, he's not saying don't make mistakes. He's saying be genuine, be entire and complete. So that whether somebody is your brother or a stranger or an enemy, you are so full of God's goodness and love that that's what comes out of you. I'd say that's pretty far from where we start, isn't it? That's not natural for us. What are we naturally like? Well, naturally, I think maybe you could use the illustration of a volcano. I'm a volcano and I've got this burning hot magma, this lava inside of me. And if people don't bother me, all they see is the mountain, and the mountain's pretty. But if somebody takes one wrong step, a lava comes out, right? So what does that prove about what's inside me? The lava's there the whole time, isn't it? But if you treat me a certain way, I'll hold that lava back. Hear this. I'll hold back what's really in me. But if you do something that unstops the top, you'll find out what I'm really like. And that is the crushing conviction of this scripture. That the fact that I'm unkind to those who are unkind to me proves that I am, in essence, an unkind person. And when I am kind to somebody who's kind to me, I'm actually just putting on a mask. I'm being kind to them because they make it easy for me to hide what I really am. But if I were really like God, then no matter who you are, when the mask comes off, you're going to see the same thing. I'm nice. Take off the mask. I'm still nice. I'm not saying all there is to Christianity is being nice, but that's what this passage is about. Doing good, praying, loving. When somebody does something provocative to me and I say things like, well, if that's the way you're going to be, what am I proving? I'm going to be like that too because that's what I really have inside. What about the statement like, oh, okay, I see how it is. Two can play at that game. That means I'm no different from you. You're being a jerk and I'm a jerk, so let's just all be jerks together. But when you do wrong to me, and all that erupts is love, then I'm like God. Is there a huge difference between the way you treat the person you, I'm going to use the word like, the person that you like the most, is there a difference between the way you treat them and the way you treat your obnoxious coworker? Should there be? He says, be perfect. Be like your Father. Sun shines on everybody. My prayers, my goodness, my kindness, my blessings should be for everybody. Even the ones who revile me and persecute me. If I blow up or if I'm unkind, if I'm sharp, if I'm cutting to people that are upsetting to me, it proves that when I am good, it's just a mask covering up the badness that's really in my heart. It's an indication that I am not complete. I am not good. I am not perfect. If I'm only kind when people earn my kindness, I have no virtue in myself. I only have the virtue that I borrow from them. Did you hear me? If I'm only kind to people who are kind to me, I have no virtue in myself. I'm just reflecting their virtue. If, however, I am kind regardless of others, I'm like my Father. Generous, polite, respectful, honest, self-denying. If I'm doing things like loving my enemies, blessing them that curse me. I mean, honestly, when somebody's rude to you in traffic, do you feel bad for them or do you get mad at them? Do good to them that hate you, that person that you know is either totally thoughtless and inconsiderate of your life, or they actually are out to get you. Do you do nice things for them? Are you praying for those that despitefully use you? How about this? Are you praying for the person in church, our church, Dyer Baptist Church? Let's get super practical. Think about the person in the church that you would least like to be around. How much do you pray for them? Whether it's their personality or their looks or something they did one time or whatever. That person, you know who. Do you pray for them? Jesus said, your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He is self-contained goodness through and through. And no matter how we act, it doesn't change him from being good. Jesus went on to say, that's what I want you to be like. That's a tall order. Does it feel kind of impossible? Christianity is impossible. We can't do it on our own strength. So just a few suggestions for how to work on this. Number one, pray. Ask God, how can I be this? This is impossible. I can't do that. Please help me. God, you're my Father. Help me to be like you. Ask for his help. Number two, watch and learn. Whenever my grandfathers would spend time with me, I didn't get to be with them lots and lots because I always lived far away from them. But sometimes for like a summer vacation or something, for a week or two, I'd get to hang out with grandpa. And they'd teach me something. And at that age, you know, I was constantly asking questions. Why are you doing this? How are you doing that? Why did you do that? Where is this for? Blah, 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 blah. So often they would just say, watch and learn. That's hard. But you know, when I would shut my mouth and just patiently observe what they did and the order they did it in and what the results were, oh, I understand. So observe God and his goodness. Look at how he, those maple trees in our parking lot are called autumn blaze. And any week now, I expect them to turn to a fiery red. Not because we were especially good boys and girls this year, but God just does stuff like that. You know, there's going to be a brisk fall morning soon, and you're going to breathe that crisp air, and you're going to think, wow, this is nice. Look at those leaves. We have special things to enjoy. Remember, that's not because you deserve it. It's because God is just good that way. And learn from his example. Say, I want to be like that. I want to do nice things just because I'm nice. Because God is working in me. So ask for his help. Watch his example and learn from it. And then number three, this is the most difficult. Do it no matter how unnatural it feels. Do what's right. Do kind. Bless those that curse you. Be kind to those that are mean to you, no matter how unnatural it feels. I like to teach people how to do things. Whether you're teaching somebody how to swing a bat or how to play tennis or how to diagram a sentence or how to dissect a frog or how to ride a bike, it's fun to teach people how to do something. But have you ever worked with somebody, particularly with a physical skill or maybe with a performance skill? And you say, okay, I want you to sing this song and I want you to open your mouth wide. And they say, okay. And they get up there and they say, oh, say, can you see? No, open your mouth wide. I am opening it wide. You're not opening it wide. See, if I open it, feels funny. I know it feels funny. But if you will do it, you'll be amazed at the sound that will come out. And eventually that person has a choice to make. Am I going to say, you may know what you're talking about, but I'm not going to do it because it doesn't feel natural. And they're going to never get better. Or they're going to say, this feels really weird, and I'm afraid people are going to laugh at me, but here goes, oh, say. And they open their mouth, and they sing. It doesn't feel natural the first time, does it? Whether it's riding a bike or swinging a bat the proper way or whatever. Holding your fingers on the keyboard on home row. Whenever you do something the first time, it doesn't feel natural. Do it anyways. Do it again. Do it again. And pretty soon it'll feel natural. So when it feels unnatural to you to compliment that cussing coworker, compliment him anyways. When it feels unnatural to respond sweetly to the person who always has a smart remark for you, respond sweetly anyways. When it's the last thing you want to do, to genuinely bow your knee and pray earnestly for that person who just really rubs you the wrong way, do it anyways. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. He's perfect. And He wants us to be perfect too.
Just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.